woke up after midnight, both my arms and legs were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thighs, pink stuff in my eyes, and I need you now.
Hey, it's Dr. Kevin Most. Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Doing fine. You know, it's like, and I hope you are as well, and it's like driving in a video game now when you go into parking lots because it's just walls of snow.
Yeah.
And it's like snow hallways every aisle that you drive down. So,
like when you come to the corner and you're going to pull out into traffic and you have to look around this huge mountain to see if anybody's coming.
Yeah. And, of course, it's just like, I listen, this is the advice I give you all the time. When you get into a situation that you don't understand, floor it and get out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great advice.
Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, Doc, it's Monday. It's cold. It's miserable. This is the time of year that I always feel is the toughest time of year to get through for anybody that lives in the world's greatest city in the greater Chicago area. February kind of stinks. But as we get into Valentine's Day, it's not just the hearts on our cards we need to worry about, right?
Yeah, it really is. You know, when people think about, you know, February and they think Valentine's Day, so they think of heart. And that's why the American Heart Association has chosen February as Heart Disease Awareness Month. And we have to realize it's still the number one killer in people. And, you know, I'm sure everyone is it's touched everyone's lives. You know, my father died of a heart attack. So, I mean, it's very near and dear to all of us. But we have to realize 630,000 people die from heart disease each year.
So each day you can do something to work on better heart health. And we should probably did you put this up yet, this 28 days towards a healthy heart? Let's socialize that and throw it out there, because it's a good chart.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. You know, we talked about New Year's resolutions and how people fail. And if you remember, I don't know whether it was late December, early January, we said, okay, if you don't want to do a New Year's resolution, I'm going to give you a list of 10 things you can do. One of them was take the stairs one day. One of them was eat more vegetables. You know, it's kind of cool that what we talked about in early January, NIH, National Institute of Health, has kind of taken it and said, we're going to go with the same concept. And, you know, it's 28 days in February, the shortest month, which is kind of nice. But, I mean, it's simple things, you know, like, instead of having a candy bar, have a piece of fruit. You know, when you get up to move a little bit, add stretching in as well. You know, very simple things you can do that actually can impact your heart and impact your health.
Why is it important to know the cholesterol numbers?
I think there's two things there about it. One is it's going to tell us what our chance of heart disease is. So knowing what your total cholesterol is, your HDL and your LDL, it reminds you of what's going on inside your body. So it's going to tell you, now you're going to have a goal. I want that LDL to be below 100. I want that HDL to be above 50. And if you get your HDL and it's 40 and you say, gosh, I need that to at least be above 50, it's going to motivate you to go out and exercise. You know what your total cholesterol is? It's going to remind you, again, to eat healthy.
And is there a thing related to men should have this total number, women should have that total number, or is it a human should have this number?
No, it's a human should have this number. So they set the guidelines, you know, and we really, you want that cholesterol level to be as low as possible, obviously. But really, we're looking at that HDL level, which is the good cholesterol, which takes cholesterol out of the body, and that LDL, that low-density lipoprotein, that's the one we want to be very low. You get that down below 100, and your HDL above 50, you're going to be, at least from a cardiovascular point of view, where we want you with your lipids.
Mine's 7. 7 good?
7 is, yeah. If it's, you're talking about your HDL, 7, that's not good.
Oh, that's
but you're talking
total
cholesterol. Hey, Doug, quick question about resolutions and whatnot. So a lot of people, me being one, at the start of the year said, all right, we're going to start working out more. And then because of the snow and the cold weather and whatnot, kind of became a little bit of a couch potato for the past
month or
two.
What are you talking about?
But I want to go back to it. So should I go back to it at the same strength and the same level I was maybe January 2nd or 3rd or 4th? Or should I ease back up to that heart rate?
Yeah, it's kind of eased back into it, to be honest with you. You know, you think about the people like now, you know, health club parking lots are no longer packed, right?
Nope.
It's February. But we also got 18 inches of snow. And if you didn't have a snowblower or if you didn't get it tuned up like I didn't, you have to go out and shovel, which, you know, fortunately this was a light snow, but still it did get your heart rates up. So you want to ease back
in. Where did you get light snow? Where were you?
Oh, no. I mean, Steve, think about how light it was when you shoveled.
Oh, light and as in heavy.
Like light and airy. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a dense, heavy snow. Yeah, not that we didn't get a lot of it. Yeah.
Okay.
Ease back in.
All right. What about these heart studies, the good news that's come out in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, we've looked at heart disease, and we've always said, we want you to go out and exercise 30 minutes of aerobic exercise at least three times a week for your heart. Right? And we try to say, hey, get up and do it, and really want to get that heart rate up. Well, a study came out of Sweden that said, you know what? Even getting up and moving and not increasing your heart rate will still have a major impact on your heart disease incidence. So they call it avoiding inactivity versus exercising. So if you're going to sit and watch TV, instead of doing that, get up and just move for 30 minutes. Not getting your heart rate up, just getting up and moving decreases your chance of blood clots, decreases your chance of heart disease, and really actually is going to give you something for your mind that is better than TV.
So you can say, I don't want to exercise, and you don't have to. It's better for you if you do, but at least keep moving.
Yeah. And I'll tell you, the other big study that came out just recently was the importance of people exercising in their 50s. So we used to get to a point where we'd say, you know what, I'm kind of done exercising. I'm hitting 50. I'm not going to go out and exercise. But we found that the heart still has great elasticity in 50s, that it loses as we age. And if you can do some of that aerobic exercise when you're in your 50s, you're going to end up with a stronger heart and a much lower chance of heart failure in the future.
Well, that's one of the great practical jokes of life, right? When you're younger and you have more energy and more strength, you enjoy working out, you enjoy exercise. You get older, you need to do it more, and you can't avoid it fast enough.
Exactly. So, I mean, getting out there right now in your 50s and trying to do some aerobic exercise besides shoveling snow once every, you know, 4 weeks is really going to make a large impact on your heart's health condition as you age.
Why does, when Doc say in your 50s, why does it sound so much older?
Accusatory. Doc, we've talked about vitamin D in the past, and now with not a lot of sunlight, kind of these inside days, should we be upping our intake of vitamin C? Or vitamin D, rather?
Absolutely. Everyone, especially, you know, in Chicago, when you're up north, you should definitely take vitamin D during the winter. So I tell people, you know, if you look at it, they say take 400 to 800 international units. I'm like, no. Take 2,000. It's the equivalent of 50 micrograms. Studies have shown that that helps. And very interesting, a study that came out, we always think of vitamin D is good for bone health and keeping women from getting osteoporosis. But now we're also finding that vitamin D is very important in helping heart and vascular cells regenerate and work harder. So they're doing vitamin D is actually doing repair work in the heart. So you're going to start to see studies coming out where we're going to start giving high doses of vitamin D for people after they've had a
heart. You have a vitamin D follow-up?
Vitamin D in addition to a calcium pill or instead of?
Well, vitamin D, if you're looking at vitamin D for osteoporosis, vitamin D and calcium, absolutely. Anybody who has a chance of osteoporosis, the combination of those two. If you're looking at vitamin D from a heart health point of view, you don't need the calcium. Matter of fact, the vitamin D is going to be just fine.
Okay. All right, we'll come back. And Dave, you need to get involved here because the next topic in heart health is red wine. And since you are the sommelier of the program, this would be a good point for you to jump in.
Okay, whatever.
I've never come across a sommelier with more of an attitude. Come to my table and go, what do you want? Whatever. Stand by. More with Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, in just a moment. Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. The pursuit of better health care starts here. Let's go back to Doc. Now, Dave, you had a thought on red wine and how much can you booze up on a daily basis.
That was not my thought, Steve.
Oh, that wasn't it specifically?
No. But I believe Doc has mentioned before that there are believed to be helpful effects from red wine. Correct, Doc? Help me out.
Absolutely, Dave. I'll help you out on this one. Yes, we've known for a long time, and it's actually interesting. I think that people try to do studies to prove that it's not true, when it actually even more and more studies prove that it is true. So we do know that red wine specifically has chemicals in it that actually are good for our heart health. Resveratrol is the antioxidant that's found in red wine, and it's been proven numerous times to be very good for our heart. Actually, to a point where now everyone knows what a stent is. You have, you know, if you're going to have blockage in your heart and you need to have something called angioplasty, where we open up that vessel and we put a stent in there to keep it open. We now have stents that are coated essentially in red wine, but they're coated in resveratrol.
Wow, very nice. Can you choose which vintage?
It's like a chocolate dipped cone. Yes.
How about it? Yeah, you have to pay more for Camus than, you know, less than Rioniti. But
sure.
But no, it's kind of interesting that it has gotten to a point where this chemical that's found in red wine is so powerful, and they like it so much that they've placed stents. They placed it on the outside of stents.
The stents from Napa are in high demand as opposed to the stents from, you know.
And I would hope that brings the cost down.
Yeah.
if they're actually labeled by the vineyard.
Well, when you think about it, when you take red wine every so often, some people more than others, but, you know, we're looking at that positive effect of it. Now that stent's in place and it's slowly eluding it off, it's there all the time. Oh. So you're getting better benefit for it.
Right. So much better than if it were cigarettes or tobacco.
Right.
All right. So this is very important news, and we have placed the 28 Days to a Healthy Heart up on our social media at WGN Radio, and also follow me on Twitter, at Cochran Show, Facebook, Steve Cochran Show, and see the 28 Days to a Healthy Heart chart. And of course, we put up Doc's notes every week as well.
Hey, one other quick thing, because you guys are going to be on a 3.5-hour flight here shortly, and don't feel bad that you're going somewhere where it's going to be probably 80 and it's cold.
It's not. It's miserable there today. It's 70. 65.
Oh, yeah. 65. Darn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, bummer.
Or 65 degrees warmer than it feels here.
Right. And the pool is open, so.
Right. Well, cannonball!
Two things. One, like I talked to you yesterday about, get up and move. Mm-hmm. Make sure hopefully you have an aisle seat for you personally, just to get up and move. Because
I'm in the cockpit.
Chance of blood clots actually increases as we sit for long periods of time, so that's not good. The other I would say is influenza numbers are still on the rise. Take something that's going to clean your seat.
Oh, sit by me, because I do that, Doc, every time. Sit by me. I bring wipes, and I do my tray table, my armrest, and my seat back for me and everybody in the room.
I've flown with you. You scrub me down.
I did.
I'm sitting there, and I'm going, I rode with you.
And Andrea is sitting next to Sandberg on the way over
there. I have the wipes. We're good to go.
You absolutely should. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if it was slowing down, I'd say, okay, well, but no, but the numbers are up, and when you're sitting there for that long a time, you're going to touch a lot of stuff. So travel safe.
I'll tell you this, if anybody's coughing anywhere near where I'm sitting, throwing them off the plane.
Leave.
Throwing them off the plane.
Cannonball.
Doc, thank you as always.
You got it. Travel safe. Have fun.
Enjoy your day. Well, you have got a break coming up later this week, so enjoy that.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, Doc's going to play a little golf in Pinehurst.
Very nice.
Yeah, good for him.
Fun.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts here.